The Fox City Score chapter and WHBY are pleased to bring you Biz Talk. Join Tony and Randy as they talk with entrepreneurs and professionals who share their experiences from starting to sustaining growth. Learn the skills needed for your business to be successful and get interactive by calling 281-1150. If you missed anything, you can catch the Biz Talk podcast at www.biztalkwithscore.com. And now, from the Myron Construction Studio, it's Biz Talk on WHBY.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to Biz Talk with Score. My name is Randy Melzer. I'm going to be your host today. Once again, our other co-host, Tony Bush, is wandering the Southlands doing something down in the Florida area. So hopefully we'll see him back in a few more weeks. But filling in today, I've got, again, my assistant, my co-host for the day, Pat Loney. Pat's with Score. Pat, good to have you with us.
Glad to be here, Randy.
Okay, Pat, can I just tell us real quickly what your background with Score is?
My background with Score is mainly focusing on accounting and banking issues. That's where my background was when I was working, and I'm helping out people with that now.
Okay. Well, we're glad to have you here today, and Pat will be with us in the next couple of weeks, working with us as a co-host. Our guest today should be very interesting. We have another Score mentor, and that is Brad DeBrew. Brad is going to talk to us about a subject I think we all should be very, very aware of and very interested in, which is cybersecurity, something that affects all of us today. So, Brad, good to have you with us.
Thank you.
And if I could ask you to just tell us a little bit about who you are, what your background is in Score, and also with cybersecurity. What brings you into that realm?
Sure. Well, I'm a native of Appleton, Wisconsin. I've been here my whole life. I've been working in mortgage banking with a national company for around the last 30 years, where I was a systems administrator and also an IT director. Okay. So I have worked with cybersecurity, trying to make sure that our processes go smoothly and we don't have any problems.
Okay. And how long did you say you've been doing that?
About the last 30, well, the IT portion, probably the last 15 years.
15 years, okay. Mm-hmm. And now you're with Score also.
Right.
And you bring that same expertise to Score for our clients as well?
Yes, I'm a Score mentor. Also, I volunteer with Score on the IT side, helping with getting IT messages out there and all that.
So. Okay. In fact, Brad did a session for us, one of our classes just recently on cybersecurity. So again, would remind you, if you want to catch up with some of those classes, keep an eye on foxcities.score.org, and we'll have more of those kinds of programs coming up. So anyway, to get on with the subject a little bit, again, Brad, you said been involved with security in the financials. Is that a real serious area for the financial institutions today? Has that gotten to be much more of an important factor?
Well, I think it is for every small business. So, you know, when a business gathers, transmits, creates, or stores non-public information, you know, that includes customer records, employee records, business plans, even their business ideas and research, there's a cybersecurity risk. Mm-hmm. So this means that every business has a responsibility to consider their cybersecurity policies.
Okay.
So, and according to the 2017 Small Business Cybersecurity Report, cyber attacks affected more small to medium-sized businesses in the last 12 months, an increase of from 55% to 61% of the respondents in the last year. And another very alarming fact is that in 2016, only 2% of the respondents in the survey described cyber attacks they experienced as ransomware. Well, this year, 52%, 2017, 52% respondents said that they experienced some form of ransomware attack.
Brad, could you explain what you mean by ransomware? What does that really mean? We all have heard of it, but could you give us a definition?
Well, I think the best way to explain ransomware is that the hacker is going to use all methods, and we'll talk about some of these, social engineering, they're going to use phishing, email, anything they can do in order to mimic you or get your credentials and gain access to your computer or your network.
Mm-hmm.
So with ransomware, the hacker takes control of your computer or network and then will try to charge money for you to get your data back and to get your systems back.
It's an old-fashioned game of just holding you up.
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely. So so when we look at those the prevalence of ransomware coming out and how powerful it's been, it's definitely something small to medium-sized businesses need to pay attention to.
I was under the impression that was much more a problem for the individual than for the business. Is that changing?
It is changing because actually the hackers are going after small to medium-sized businesses because of their vulnerabilities and also because of the data that they have. Mm-hmm. So you'll see them going after medical records. The more valuable the data is, the more they can charge, the more likely that hacker will get their end result, which is the money they're seeking.
Okay. And when you're working with this, should there be someone in the organization that has the authority to be able to work with the security, working with a systems analyst or someone like that in your business? Should that be one of the employees that you have?
I think that's a great idea if you can. There's also local resources, companies that you can hire to help with this. Not surprising, there's a shortfall in the amount of cybersecurity experts and folks that have the experience. So recent reports are showing that there's just not enough people that have the experience and understanding to adopt this. So what we'd recommend is that it's more important to start off with a policy and start to enforce some of these things step by step. So that could be something as easy as password policies or dual authentication policies that can help your risk go down.
So you can start simple without getting into the real heavy duty type of backup work and so on.
That's correct.
Okay, all right. And what are the other, now we talked about the ransomware. What are some of the other different types of attacks that people have been experiencing?
Well, there's, phishing attacks, which are the standard sending an email, trying to mimic a company or mimic someone like that.
Okay, this is nice phishing. This is, what are we phishing for?
Yeah, they're phishing for the user to click on something on that email, to click on a link, to run a script. And the idea, of course, that any time that someone does that, these scripts are going to run without you even knowing it in the background on your computer. So they're phishing for a lot of different things. They're trying to gain access. They're trying to install programs on your computer without you knowing it. Mm-hmm. You may not even know that you've had a phishing attack because an email comes across. It looks perfectly legit. You click on something. Maybe it doesn't work or it didn't go where you expected, whatever it might be. But in the background, a program is being installed on your local computer and your network.
So, how can somebody tell when they're getting an email whether it's legit or not?
Well, I think the main thing that you can do is you want to make sure that you look at the headers in the email. Where's the email coming from? Is there anything suspicious? And if there's anything suspicious, doesn't look right, you should immediately be concerned about that. Obviously, the hackers are very sophisticated, so they'll make these emails look just like an email from FedEx.
Yes, like I said, I had that wonderful experience that blew out my entire document file off my security, off my system, just simply by clicking onto a FedEx notice that looked extremely legitimate. I thought for sure it was real.
That's
and
right.
After I got through with it, the next thing was basically throwing away the system itself because there was nothing we could do to save
right.
it.
Yes, and I think training employees and also communicating with your customers how you do business also helps with these, to prevent phishing attacks and from that email getting through and accomplishing what it was trying to do.
Okay. Just a real quick reminder, we're talking to Brad DeBrew here on the area of cybersecurity. If you have any questions for Brad, please give us a call here at 281-1150 or outside of the area. You can reach us at 866-887-1150. We'd be more than happy to take your calls and answer any specific questions that you have. Okay, so Brad, we talked about two. How many different kinds of attacks could you be subject to?
Well, I think they're very creative. Social engineering is becoming a very it's an approach that hackers are taking in order to gain access to your systems as well. So social engineering includes creating a profile in your name in order for them to find out more about you, find out more about your life, and they'll go after actually owners of businesses. They'll go after people that have an influence in a business or have access in a business. Mm-hmm. They'll go after their social engineering, so they'll look at their accounts, find out who's their friends, how they interact socially, if they can. So it's very important that we monitor your business's social interactions. So that's a very prevalent way. Obviously, the hackers are, it's interesting that 95% of the breach records came from three industries: government, retail, and technology. So, out of these attacks, they're going specifically after these areas that they see the most vulnerable.
Does taking part in or being involved more with social media make you more at risk, things like LinkedIn and things like YouTube and all of that type of stuff? Or is there ways that you can use that? Because I know we have a lot of clients who use social media as a way to market. Is there a safe way?
Yes. Yes, there is. It's adopting the procedures and policies that your company has right from the beginning, outlining those. As an example, if you're going to have a LinkedIn account, you have to have dual authentication, and you have to, be actively pursuing that you're doing the right things on a social media environment. So as an example, LinkedIn, Facebook, all of these accounts that you have, making sure that you're monitoring and checking your security settings on a regular basis.
Okay.
So companies do this on an annual basis today. They do a social media security audit, and they look at all of those facets of how their user interacting with social security or social media, and then they enforce that.
Okay.
So, yes.
Brad, can you explain to us what dual authentication is?
Absolutely. So dual authentication is taking, when you're logging into an account, logging into a website, anywhere that you're logging into, it's a process that says, okay, you've entered your username and password. Now you need to do one more thing. You need to press on your smartphone that it is you. You tell us that it is you, or you need to enter a special code, or there's any number of ways that you can do dual authentication, but it's a very powerful tool to accomplish getting over cybersecurity.
So when you're using it, after you get it set up, it knows, for example, that you're using your smartphone or you're using your PC, and if something changes with that, it'll stop that transaction.
That is correct. It'll
right.
stop that login, or it'll stop the next process that they're trying to go through in your behalf.
And how do I put this on my phone? How do I do that?
So you're going to want to go into the systems that are accessing your phone. So that might be Google or, iOS or Apple, Microsoft, depending on your operating systems.
Okay.
You want to start there. You also want to start with your banking, all the social media accounts, and look at the security settings.
Okay.
And make sure, review them. They're changing constantly. So as they're changing, you want to take advantage of that and make sure that you have dual authentication set up wherever you can. If you're working with a company and they don't have a dual authentication process for what you're accessing data, you should really consider whether or not you'd want to put any non-public information into their systems.
Okay, so again, be watchful, be aware.
Be watchful, be aware. Make sure that you're paying attention and focusing on your cybersecurity.
Outstanding. Well, again, we're talking to Brad DeBruin, one of our SCORE mentors here about cybersecurity. Be careful of that one. Cybersecurity and how to work with it. We're going to take a quick break and be back after that. You're listening to Biz Talk with SCORE here on 1150. WHBY and 103.5 FM.
Need help taming your business's financial beast? Albertson Hailing CPAs can simplify your financial situation and guide you from payroll to tax planning and more. Let's crack the whip on your business's finances, helping you feel more comfortable. Visit AlbertsHaling.com. Alberts & Hailing. Personal connections, positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts & Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
And welcome back again to Biz Talk with Score. My name is Randy Melzer. I'm your host today. Co-hosting with me today is Pat Loney from our Score chapter. And we have a guest today, Brad DeBru. Brad is an expert in the area of cybersecurity. And we'll be talking about more about how it affects you as a small business and what you can do to protect yourself. And again, too, if you have any questions, please give us a call at 281-1150 here in Appleton. Or in the Oshkosh or out of the Appleton area, reach us at 866-887-1150. We'd be more than happy to answer any calls on the areas of cybersecurity. Before we get back to Brad, though, I just want to take just a minute to tell everybody a little bit more about the SCORE chapter here in the Fox Cities. We are foxcities.score.org is where you reach us. We have over 50 mentors right now. These are specialists in just about every area of business who are there to help you get your business started, also to help you keep your business moving along smoothly and advancing, and also even working with things as in the areas of exit strategies when you're heading towards the other end and want to move on out of that particular business. We have the expertise here to be able to help you. The wonderful thing about it is, of course, all of our mentoring is free. So it's a case where as often as you need a mentor, we'll set up with you. We ask that you go to foxcities.score.org, go out and where it says a request counseling or request mentor, fill in the blanks, and we will have somebody get in contact with you in a day or two, set up a meeting, and be able to help you move your business ahead. As we talk about SCORE, we're there for the life of your business, not just for one time, but as often as you need us. We also cover an area all the way down through the Fond du Lac area into Green Lake, Washera, Marquette County, as well as Calumet, Wapaka, out of Outagamie County. So we cover about an 8-county area for our chapter. Then there's also throughout the state of Wisconsin and nationally, total nationally, we have about 400 chapters and over 11,000 mentors out there. So no matter where you go in the United States, you will have SCORE available for your help because, again, as I said, we are there for the life of your business. That's SCORE, foxcities.score.org. With that, I'd like to, though, get back to Brad. We were having a good conversation about cybersecurity. Pat, you had a question.
I do. Brad, do you have any idea how many of these tests on your vulnerabilities on systems and things are a live person versus an automated bot or something, you know, that's testing a system?
Well, I can tell you that a vast majority of the hacks start as an automated process. The hackers searching, these bots are out there. It's an automated system searching for exposed computers and networks through direct attacks. So they're out searching the internet for IP addresses and finding out where vulnerabilities are. Once the victims are identified, it could be months, even years, before any malicious activity occurs. So the hacker spends time getting to know you, getting to understand how you do business and what you do in your business before they actually execute an attack. And they do that by monitoring your networks and systems through these automated bots that they've put out to work for them.
That's really scary.
It is scary. Yeah, it really is. So, you know, the idea, of course, is that we need our passwords. We need to protect our operating systems, our networks, all of those things. And so it's just part of today's environment.
Okay, so they're spending an awful lot of time, their time, as far as the people who are hacking into us, working on that system. How do we defend it? What do we have to do to spend our time better to be able to defend it?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a number of ways you can do that today. As we look at different strategies, you know, we talked about dual authentication. One of the first strategies is just to make sure that you're practicing safe computing mm-hmm. every day, day in and day out, doing the same things, reviewing your policies, making sure that your cybersecurity policies are enforced and doing what you hope to accomplish. And also, I think it's doing some testing and practicing. Okay. Practice backing up your systems. Practice making sure that if you do have an attack, that you are able to recover from that. And of course, you want to make sure that you work with the big guys, the mm-hmm. Microsoft, Apple, Google, to get the most of what they offer for you and your business. So if a small business is using Google and their G Suite, as an example, they have an additional service you can plug into for as little as $15 a month per person, mm-hmm. which will allow you to have encrypted email and enhanced cybersecurity features in your account, which mm-hmm. will then just protect you from this ever happening.
What about being aware of all of these things that happen? We hear about Expedia being hit, and Target, for instance, was breached. So many of these big ones. Should a small business be aware of those things and also start to react when that kind of thing happens?
You know, I think they should. As an example, the water payment portal from Fond du Lac recently got hacked. I saw that on the news. And when that got hacked, they stole people's credit cards and went out and started using them, et cetera. They were relying on an outside source to manage some of that cybersecurity. And so you have to be aware of who your vendors are, how your vendors are managing, and how they're dealing with these attacks as well. So I think that's very important. I also think it's important that that you consider, as you're working through these policies and procedures with your mm-hmm. business, that you identify what are your business practices, how you do business, to make sure that if somebody in your an employee or someone that does business with you sees something unusual, they know how to react to that as well.
Okay, so well, we are talking to Brad DeBrew, one of our SCORE mentors here today, about cybersecurity and how important it is to small business. We'll be back shortly after a break. You are listening to Biz Talk with SCORE here on 1150 WHBY. And 103.5 FM.
I'm on my way out. I'm booked that day. I'll be washing my hair that night?
No matter what excuse you use, your business's finances won't fix themselves. Albertson Hailing CPAs can take the frustration out of your bookkeeping, taxes, and more. We'll help you understand and manage your situation. Visit albertshailing.com. Albertson Hailing. Personal connections. Positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Albertson Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. Intellectual property doesn't have to be confusing. If you have an original idea and are considering patents, trademarks, copyrights, or protecting your company logo, let me partner with you and make it easy to build and protect your intellectual property portfolio. Legal Business Edge. Know your options. Call 920-851-7761 or visit legalbusinessedge.com.
And welcome back once again to Biz Talk with SCORE. My name is Randy Melzer. I'm your host today. And along with me, I have Pat Loney from the SCORE chapter here with us. And we are talking to Brad DeBrew. Brad is an expert in the wonderful world of cybersecurity. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about that in just a moment. The last segment, I mentioned a few of the things that goes on as far as SCORE being an excellent place for getting mentoring and so on. Other things that we do include training programs and so on. Pat, have you got some information about some of the programs coming up?
I do. We have two coming up in the near future. One is on QuickBooks, and it's going to be the four Wednesdays in February, starting on the 7th. That they're from 6 until 8:30 in the evening each of those days. And it's going to be at New Horizons, which is on the west side of Appleton. If you want to know more information about this, go out to foxcities.score.org. Each of these are going to be basically on beginners using QuickBooks, so it's going to be setting up a company, setting up your vendors, setting up your customers, And then the last one is going to be on reporting and reconciliation. So this one fills up almost every time we do it. Mm-hmm. So we want to encourage people, if you're interested in this, get out there and look at the cost for all four is $100. Mm-hmm. Or you can take one class for $35 each. Okay. The other thing that's really important about this is that New Horizons has a terrific setup out at their office. And you don't have to bring your own PC. Just come in, sit down, and everybody will have an individual PC to work off from. And we've got a real nice classroom set up out there. So we hope anybody that's interested in QuickBooks takes a look at that.
And I understand, Pat, that you're going to be one of the instructors?
I am. Okay. Along with Jim Hiding, we're going to teach this, and I'm looking forward to it. So.
Okay. And again, as you said, sign up now because this does fill up. It has a limited seating arrangement. So, get into it as quickly as you can. What else going on?
The second one we've got is strategy for small business and nonprofits. And we have another SCORE mentor who's teaching that. That is going to be on Tuesday, March 13th. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. It's going to be at the SCORE offices at 120 North Superior Street in Appleton. It's down across from the Post Crossing. It's in the Fox City's Chamber building. And this is set up for people, small businesses that are thinking, I really should sit down and start to put a strategy plan together. And really, it might be just learning how to do this so that maybe you can sit down with your key team members and think about where do you want to take your business in the next year, 2 years, 3 years. And the person teaching is Terry Pinch, and he's got a lot of experience in this. He's spent a good part of his career doing this, and we're really excited about that, too. So, again, that's on Tuesday, March 13th, and the cost on that is $25. So we hope people sign up for that, too.
Okay, well, looking forward to taking advantage of some of the educational activities that SCORE provides. Thank you, Pat, for the information on that. And again, remind you, foxcities.score.org. You can get all the information about our local as well as national webinars and so on available on almost any topic. So a lot of educational information available. At this point, though, I'd like to get back to Brad DeBrew, who we're talking to, about cybersecurity. From what we've been covering so far, it sounds like what we need to take a look at is to be actually active or proactive on our part rather than reacting to what's going on out there. How do you recommend people to really look at it that way as an active part of your business?
Yeah, I think for small and medium-sized businesses, having these policy, which it doesn't have to be a written manual per se, but just starting off with some real simple policies. We all understand basic password policies, and then enforcing these policies. So as an example with passwords, no sharing. Well, you have to make sure that people aren't sharing their passwords and passing them around, even though that might be an easier thing to do when you're trying to get work done at your business. You want to say, hey, we have a policy that says you can't share your password. Keeping your security up to date. It's always been, we've had this kind of back and forth, that rubber band effect. In the beginning, companies were afraid to update their computer systems because they didn't understand or they had problems after an update. It broke their software. Their systems didn't work. Today, it's never been more important to keep your systems up to date. So, Windows and iOS and all your systems, they're pushing out live updates to you. These updates are mainly, the focus is, yes, features and functions, but mainly it's about security. Okay. And so you want to take advantage of those security, opportunities that are out there.
Now, Brad, one of the things you just mentioned is, the people in your office understanding what is required and what's expected of them. Some people do that where they actually have a written signed policy that you have to have. Is that a good practice or procedure to have this thing where your employees read it and sign it and you put it in the file?
I think it is, and it's important when you look at that more than today with this social engineering and the social aspect of the way we're doing business. Mm-hmm. It's very important that those policies be written and folks sign off on that, how they're going to conduct themselves. But I also think it's important that you test and that you let people know that you're going to test. So an example of that would be, if someone forgets their password, how do they react to that? Or asking them to give you their password. These are kind of, you know, and let them know that, hey, we're gonna do some testing and find out whether or not everyone's paying attention to this. So I think also you want to make sure that in your policies that you have written out that people can practice and mm-hmm. they can understand, well, okay, what would happen if my computer was taken over with ransom or my network was taken over? You'd practice by restoring your backups, mm-hmm. You know, and you start with that, verifying where your data is, identifying the priority of your data. Not all data is the same. Not all data is as valuable as other data. Mm-hmm. But you look at, again, non-public information that's not available to the public is the information you have to protect in your business. So as you're looking at that information, you want to practice, okay, what would happen if my computer, my network, was taken over and I couldn't get in? How would I accomplish the backup? What mm-hmm. would happen? And actually back your systems up.
I think one of the things that you talked about was testing. It's just so important, and making sure that the policies you have in place actually do work, or, you know, that somebody, the passwords are correct to get you to recover data and things like that. I know when I was working, we saw that happen a lot, where we'd try something, we thought it was working, and we find out it wasn't. We could correct it, so when it did happen, for real, we were able to more smoothly recover.
Absolutely. And at that point, when you're testing and practicing those things, you know, you really have an opportunity to uncover things you never thought of that would happen. Like, wait a minute, I don't have my codes because they're on this drive or they're somewhere that I didn't expect them to be. So, you know, again, looking at your policies, kind of outlining how they're going to work for you, and then testing those is very valuable. And even though it takes a little time, it's worth the effort.
One of the areas that people are kind of questioning about, but that's also extremely important for data storage, is using the cloud. People, again, as you said, have kind of this rubber band effect. Oh, it's really great. Oh, I'm really scared of it. Reality. How secure is it? How safe is it to work with the cloud as your primary storage backup area?
Well, you know, I'm sure I'll get some differing opinions on this this matter. It's kind of one of those subjects that's pretty sensitive right now. But I would start with this, that the safest computing you could do is a computer that's not plugged in or connected to the internet. So if you think about it, that's not happening today.
No.
Almost all computers, almost all systems have internet connectivity, even for them to work. So the reality is that when you think of cloud computing, is it safer on my local network or is it safer on Google mm-hmm. Cloud or Microsoft Cloud? I think that the answer is it's safer on Microsoft and Google's cloud because you have an opportunity for them to manage a lot of that security, that backup. You have an opportunity to buy services from them that can help you. Amazon Web Services is a good example, becoming more and more prevalent. We're starting to see advertising for these cloud services because businesses are recognizing that it's just easier, it's more cost effective, and it's more secure to be on the cloud.
So it's a lot cheaper to put it on the cloud, take care of these kinds of expenses that way, almost like insurance, rather than what it would cost to rebuild the system on the other end.
Absolutely. So, you know, I've been asked, what would you do if you have a ransomware attack today? Well, I would just rebuild my system. I would do a factory reset of my system. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't lose anything because all of my data, all of my files are in the cloud. That includes my personal information, but also all my business plans and business information is on the cloud. So I think it's a matter of following safe computing and then adopting the procedures that Google and Microsoft have available for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just give the one example with Google. In their G Suite, they have, for a very small amount, for the next jump up in their offering, they have a security protocol that lets you encrypt your emails. It lets you make sure that your drive is safe, who's accessing your drive, all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, today, if I tried to log in or anyone tried to log into Google from anywhere as me, I would be notified. And I'd be notified through my dual authentication smartphone and other methods. That can only happen through the resources I'd have available through Google.
Okay.
I could not afford to build or develop that on my own.
Okay. So you utilize what's out there as far as availability.
Absolutely.
Okay, and be aware. How do I find out about all this stuff? That becomes kind of one of those Neverland kind of things. Who do I talk to? Who's the person who can help me do this?
Well, you can, of course, reach out to SCORE. We're happy to help out any small businesses. We're happy to encourage them and give them, some mentoring on how to approach that. So that's a great approach. And then another thing is you can do some very proactive things like Google Alerts. I don't know if you've heard of those, but Google Alerts, if you just simply search for that, it's a setting you can put in where you put in keywords.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for instance, cybersecurity or your business keywords, you would put in there. Now, every day, Google will then send you over information and news that's been harvested off of the internet in a condensed format for you so that you have an alert of everything going on with your security, your business, where vulnerabilities lie, et cetera. So you can be proactive in keeping up with that. You can also, there's local resources that SCORE can recommend to you based on your individual business needs.
Right. One of our partners that we work with over many years is the Better Business Bureau. I receive updates from them on almost a daily basis of the newest scams that are going out there. One right now is a tax time alert that if you receive an email that says we have information about your taxes, about your 1040 or whatever that you need, or 1099s, that just click on this and there it is. Well, as soon as it says that word click on this should be just a huge red flag. Because you're dealing with malware, you're dealing with some type of ransomware that they're going after. So, yeah, that's one of the areas. There's a lot of other ones, too, that are available to you. But just a real quick reminder, you're listening to Brad DeBruin here. We're talking about the wonderful world of cybersecurity. If you have any questions for us, please give us a call, 281-1150, or outside the Appleton area at 866-887-1150. So let's continue then on with this thing. We're talking, one of the things I just mentioned a little bit about was the idea of some type of insurance. I know we don't want to go into a lot of detail on that, but is that also available?
You know, Pat and I were talking about that earlier. I'm not very versed on the insurance that's available from a cybersecurity standpoint. I do know that there's errors and omissions insurance. There's insurance that you can get that could protect you from anything that might happen internally. But I do would encourage that folks reach out to their agent, their business insurance agent, and find out what options are out there.
Okay,
for them.
So realize you have a risk and manage it.
Right. Realize you have a risk, manage it, take advantage of all the opportunities that you have.
Yeah. When I was working, it was becoming a bigger and bigger piece of our businesses to pay attention to the insurance that is offered, and not just so you buy more insurance, but this is a big risk area. People commonly will insure their building, for example, against fire and tornadoes and things like that. This kind of thing should be looked at the same way. It's a huge risk.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And when we were talking again, certain things that you really should be sure that you're protected with, what are the big ones? What are the most important things when you're talking about protecting your IT information?
Well, I think the first step is to prioritize your data.
Okay.
Not all of your business data is the same. And so you have to and it's stored all over the place. So I think what you have to do is you have to prioritize, identify the data. Obviously, any of your customer records, customer information that you gather, maintain, store, have access to, you have a responsibility to consider that as your top priority.
Okay.
I think then you look at your employee records, everyone that you work with, and then your business records, your finances, your business ideas, all of that proprietary information that you want that's valuable to you that you wouldn't want anyone else to see. You want to prioritize all of that data.
Okay.
So after you prioritize that data, then you want to identify what strategies you're going to use, where the data is located, and what strategies you're going to use to secure that data.
Okay.
And it could be, you know, in adopting, you know, QuickBooks and a QuickBooks program that could maybe accept payments. Maybe you would never, that you would never see, and hopefully you'll never see someone's credit card information because it's even encrypted to you as the business owner. The more of those types of procedures that you follow, the better off you are in tackling this big problem.
What about a procedure as far as notifying your customers? Is that a something? I know that's another one of those terrorizing things that people in business have. Should I tell my customer or shouldn't I? How do you handle that question?
Well, I think the first thing is you should be communicating with your customers right now about how your policies work. So as an example, you have, you know, we hear this often, we'll never ask for your password. Well, that's a great thing that companies tell their customers every day because then you know that no one will ever ask for my password. But you could, you know, as an example, in the mortgage industry, we had money being wired to closings at title companies or at insurance or attorney's offices. So as these settlement agents were executing the closings, money was being wired. Well, a very sophisticated scam that's going on today in our industry is that these hackers are trying to get in the middle of that process and get the borrower to wire money to them or to get the lender to wire money to a different, you know, address than what was originally requested. So by having procedures in place and then communicating that to your customers, to your vendors, to everyone, this is how we do business. So an example would be in the mortgage process, you telling your customers up front what they should expect. At closing, you should expect that we'll call you and tell you where to wire your money, or that we only accept a certified check or whatever it might be. You can put those procedures in place so they know that in advance. So you can communicate with your customer in advance how you do business. You can use this as an opportunity to build the relationship with your customer as well.
Okay.
So that's the one of the first things. If something were to happen, a breach were to happen, in my opinion, you should let them know right away and discuss the impacts that they're going to have.
Okay. And how do you communicate that? Just, again, through the Internet, I would guess.
Well, I think, you know, you have your standard communication processes that you do with your customers. So if you're communicating with them via email or on social media, you can do it in email or social media. If only a small portion of your records or your data is impacted, maybe you reach out to them individually. And depending on the numbers and how daunting that process might be, you can set up a way to get that information to them.
Okay. Well, that's excellent advice on that. We're going to take our last quick break here and be back shortly to wrap things up. You're listening to Biz Talk with Score. My name is Randy Melzer. I'm your host. We have Brad DeBrew here today talking about cybersecurity, and we will be back shortly to wrap things up. You're listening on WHBY 1150 and 103 FM.
Subtract line 6 from 13. Put in box 5 on form 1040 EZ. Easy? Really?
Taxes can be daunting, especially when it comes to your business. From asset protection to payroll and more, we can help reduce the stress of your business's financial situation. Visit albertshaling.com. Alberts and Hailing. Personal connections, positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts and Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. We can partner with you to reach creative legal solutions for your business. From contract drafting and negotiation, patents and trademarks, commercial transactions, and governmental compliance.
Timely and candid answers coupled with high energy and passion define Sarah's approach to legal counsel.
Know your options. Call me at 920-851-7761 or visit LegalBusinessEdge.com.
Fox Communities Credit Union.
You found the new house you love.
Oh, this place is amazing.
So, what do you do next? Come to Fox. It's the first step towards your new home happy dance.
Oh, yeah, this house is ours.
Yes.
Get the best loan rates, local servicing, and step-by-step home buying assistance from the mortgage lending experts at Fox Communities Credit Union. With Fox, you can get more home with lower payments, faster loan payoff with bi-weekly payment options, and help from local experts who are as excited as you are to help you get the home of your dreams.
Guess what? You got the loan.
And you can get a home loan with as little as 3% down payment. Talk to Fox and do your new home happy dance.
See how Fox can help you with 22 locations and loan experts that make it easy.
Equal housing opportunity lender. Apply online today. Visit foxcu.org.
Fox Communities.
And welcome back to Biz Talk with Score. My name is Randy Melzer. I'm your host today. Co-hosting with me today is Pat Loney from Score. And we've been talking to Brad DeBrew about cybersecurity and how it affects you as a small business. We're going to wrap up with Brad in just a minute. But first, I want to take a short moment to say thank you very much to the sponsors of the Biz Talk show, without whom we would not be able to provide this for you. We want to say thank you very much to Fox Communities Credit Union out there, providing small business services, lending to all of our small business clients. Also, a thank you to Alberts and Haling CPAs, small business CPA work for your taxes and for your financial planning, how to handle your business needs as far as your financial needs. Again, also a thank you to Legal Business Edge, Sarah DeBruin, out there taking care of your legal needs so that you can put your business together, have all the proper things that you need to take care of the legal questions that you have. Thank you also to Candeo Marketing. Candeo Marketing are the people who put together our BizTalkWithScore.com website for us. And by the way, we will have this program and other programs archived on that site. So again, if you go out to www.BizTalkWithScore.com, and you'll be able to listen to our programs on a regular basis. Again, a quick thank you also to the Business News out there, providing information, newspaper information to East Central Wisconsin, keeping track of what's going on out there in the business world. $20 a year is your subscription price, and you can keep up to date with everything that's going on. And then a final thank you to the Wisconsin Business Development, WBD. They are an SBA supplier of lending for businesses. And we would ask, if you are looking for help with business loans, WBD, Wisconsin Business Development, is an excellent source for you. So again, thank you to our sponsors. We appreciate them, and we've enjoyed their working with them over the years. With that, I think we're going to get back to Brad here and try and wrap things up a little bit. We talked a lot about how you handle things in the office, how you take care of your security. One of the big things today is mobility. Where does that play into this idea of cybersecurity?
Well, it's a huge impact. We have more and more mobile users. More and more people are accessing systems, accessing websites, email from their mobile devices. And so it's very important that small businesses consider having a mobile device policy. And this mobile device management is done by making sure that that anyone that accesses your business information on mobile has this policy in place on their device. So the administrator then can make sure that in the event you're compromised, something happens, they can manage your device and control your device. Mm-hmm. Also, you can set policies that make sure that they have to have a unique password to access your device, or have a PIN or a pattern, as mm-hmm. an example. These are the mobile device policies that are out there, and they're very effective, and they should be part of your strategy for 2018.
And that needs to be communicated then to all parties who are working on a mobile system.
That's correct. So, you know, as we talked earlier, letting your employees know, or letting folks that are, you know, in the business know, here's how we do business, and if you're going to access our system through a mobile phone, you're going to be part of our mobile device policy. And a lot of folks are getting used to this today. When you go to sign up for that email, your phone will say, the administrator has a mobile device policy. Would you enforce? Are you okay with enforcing that? and you agree to enforce it. And then that enforcement allows the administrator to manage those devices and what's happening on those devices.
And those can be on devices that the employee owns themselves or company-owned, or is it, again, a good policy only on company-owned devices?
It should any access, if they're accessing email as an example and you have sensitive email that comes across, your mobile device management policy should be similar to, you know, to as you own the phone yourself.
Okay.
The ability to wipe it out, the ability to just delete the account. So those things are there. And again, these are things that you would practice and test and make sure and say, hey, we're gonna let you see what it looks like when this happens.
Okay. So, you know, again, practice, and make sure you understand the procedures.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Brad, one of the things we ask our guests each week is for a biz tip, and we'd like to know what you're going to leave us with this week.
Well, I'll leave you with this. 2018, it's January, getting on to the end of the month here. I would say take this time to do a cybersecurity review in your business. Look at everything. Look at all the systems you're logging into. You can put them on an Excel sheet, just label them out, and just make notes and start to take some action one step at a time. Make sure that you dual authentication, as an example, put that into place right now. So I think there's a lot of things you can do, but if I were to give a biz tip for 2018, that would be review your policies and start looking at everything today for what the next year is going to look like.
Okay. Well, Brad, thank you very much for bringing this information to us. It's something that, of course, is very, very close to everybody, and we have to be very, very aware of how we handle our security. So, again, thank you very much. And reminder that Brad is a SCORE mentor, and so if you're looking for more help, get a hold of us. It's foxcities.score.org, and when put in a request for cybersecurity, and I'm sure we'll put you in touch with Brad. So thank you again for all your help. We appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having
me. Okay. And if you missed something or are interested in the program and would like to hear some more about it, we will be replaying today at 4 o'clock on WHBY 1150. You can pick us up and listen to any of the parts that you missed. Otherwise, we'll be back again next week bringing you guests again to talk about some of the small business activity going on out there. And Pat is going to be with me again next week working. We want to say hello out there to Tony out there somewhere. I'm sure he's wandering around out in cyberspace somewhere. So, again, we want to thank everybody for listening today. You've been listening to us here. This is Biz Talk with SCORE on WHBY 1150 and 103.5 FM.